I'm going to shift gears. I'm not going to say I hope it's okay because you know me, I'm going to do it anyway. But first of all, I got to get this out. Concerning the book bag fundraisers, how much did we need, Deacon Sharon?
About $4,000.
About $4,000 is what's needed to give away those book bags. We are not selling enough pies and ice cream to make $4,000. I mean, we're just not. There's not. All we need you to do is just, God loves a He didn't say he loves, he does, but he didn't say I love a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it eater. He loves a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving. So that means you have to have a heart for God. You have to have a heart to do what God said. You have to have a heart for God's people. And then you just give accordingly. And we could wipe this thing out 1, 2, 3. Because we're going to do it. We're going. One of the things that keeps this ministry afloat is because we're generous givers.
That's right.
This, you know, in regardless of the attendance, regardless of whether people tithe or not tithe, there's a certain amount of money that this ministry is committed to giving to other ministries and missionaries, and we've been doing that. You know, this ministry tithes. Well, what we tithe is not equal to what's actually coming in. But God didn't tell us to make any adjustments. So we keep giving. And he keeps blessing people. I mean, a few weeks ago, the mailroom called us excited because Pastor Ed and I have been confessing 2 one-time gifts. $25,000. We've been thanking God for it. A gift came in for $24,000 and change. Okay. All right. Okay. And we thank God for it, but we still didn't change our confession because that's not $25,000. Okay. But it just came in. And whenever, you know, the enemy tries to get us to start getting concerned about it, somebody, he'll speak to someone, they'll send in a large offering, and God is like, see, I got your back. I got your back. So just, you hear a need, and you just, all right, God, what do you want me to do about this need? And whatever he tells you to do, that's enough. Don't try and impress God by doing more. See, people get into, I guess we'll get to the notes, but people get themselves into trouble because of good intentions. God may say to you, give $10 more in the offering. And you think, well, I could do better than that. You give $100. Then you run into a financial crisis and you get upset with God. He didn't tell you to give the other 90. He said, give $10 more. See, that's what we're talking about when we're saying obey God. If he says give a dollar more, give a dollar. If he says give 100, give 100. Whatever he says, he said he'll give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So whatever, and if you don't give what he tells you, then what you're giving, he didn't authorize. He's not obligated to support it. So you continue being generous. God will continue taking care of you because he keeps his word. And we're going to touch on that this morning because it says as a segue into it. I received an article, an email rather, no, what did I get? A mess, a, not an email, a text, yeah, from Reverend Tony Cook. He texts me from time to time. We text, he'd call and say hi, call, hey, how you doing? Back off the road, you know, that sort of thing. But he texted me all this information about loneliness. And I started thinking about that, you know, and at first I was wondering why he sent this to me, because I ain't lonely. But people are. Even though they're in groups as such, they're still lonely. The reason they're lonely, because I asked God about it, I said, God, what is this? Because this isn't just the world, this is also the church. You have Christians that are lonely. He said, they're feeling unloved. They don't really understand that I love them. Because if they understood I love them, nothing else would be that important. Yes, we need fellowship and we want fellowship. But there are people that hang out. You know, there's this philosophy, bad company's better than no company. That's not true. Okay. The Bible says bad company corrupts good morals. But there are people, there are believers who would rather go around bad company because they want to have a feeling, a semblance that somebody loves them. And because of that, I did it. I rolled right over into it. So I'm just going to keep going. But because of it, they allow themselves to be used, abused, and violated because someone uttered words that they're longing to hear. Amen. I love you. You know, I can honestly tell you, as bad as I was, if I ain't love you, I ain't say it. I mean, that's what it was. No, that wasn't a tagline, you know. That's why one of them was, I'll go to church with you, but I did. I said I would always go once. You know. But when I came here, I went once and never left. Those other places I left. Not only the church, but the relationship. It wasn't a relationship. You know. But see, we need to understand, and what I want us to understand today is just how much God loves you. Just how much, there may be someone, or there probably is someone or someone's in the room, and for whatever reason, you're feeling nobody loves you. Well, God loves you. And we think you'll probably find that there are some others that love you also, but what happens is love is a very strong emotion. And that, you know, we try and teach otherwise, love is not a feeling but an action, but if someone is acting like they don't love you, you're not going to feel loved. So you need to know, we need to know that God loves us, and more than him just saying it, he's proven it over and over and over. Amen. Do you understand?
Yes.
It's okay if you don't. You will in a minute. Okay? Someone posed this question. And the title of the lesson is very simple. God loves you. Okay, very simple. But someone posed this question to Billy Graham. He said, or they said, I have a hard time believing God loves me. I know you'll say he does, and sometimes I believe it, but most of the time I don't, although I wish I did. If you knew all the bad things I've done, you'd understand why I can't believe God loves me. And I had to think about that. And I had to think about how many people that I've talked to in my role as pastor who said to me, you don't understand what I've done. There's no way God could love me. But he said he does. He said, no, there's no way. I wouldn't love me. You're not God. but God does. Things come up in our lives and we think it's because God doesn't love me, because if he loved me, he wouldn't allow this to happen. We forget that he had Jesus tell us, in this world you will have. In this world stuff will happen. But he loved us so much, part of what Jesus did was he took away its power to harm you, and he's conquered that thing for you. He didn't conquer it just because he wanted his hand raised like, hey, I'm the conqueror. He conquered it for you. He conquered it for us. And you start thinking, well, why would he do that? on, I think it was July 2nd, LeBron James signed a contract, or third, with I almost said with Golden State. With Los Angeles, with the L.A. Lakers. And they gave him $154 million. Play back. My son called me and said, "Dad, if you wouldn't, with the stats you had in your time," I'm like, "We're not even going there. That wasn't part of the plan." Okay, but they didn't give him $154 million because they love him.
Right.
They didn't. Some of the players on the team don't like him. Okay, because it's going to take away from them. You know. But they gave him $154 million because of what he could do for them, for what they could get from having him on their team. He's saying, why are you telling that? Well, it's very significant when you understand God's love for you. Let me see where we are in the notes, because God just jumped right in, and that's fine. Look at Romans 5. I remember they gave him this money because of what they could get from him, for what he could do for them, not because they loved him. Romans 5. I'm going to read this in the Message Bible. I was going to read it in other translations, but I just want to read it in the Message Bible. Says, we can understand someone dying for a person worth dying for. Oh, I thought I said, I'm sorry, verse 7 and 8. I did tell you Romans 5. Okay, good. Are we there? Okay, we can understand, this is the Message Bible, we can understand someone dying for a person worth dying for, and we can understand how someone good and noble could inspire us to selfless sacrifice. But God put his love on the line for us by offering his son in sacrificial death while we were of no use to him whatsoever. You need to think about that. There was nothing God could gain from sending his son for us. Nothing. We weren't valuable to him. But he... The Lakers didn't give their all. Believe me, they have much more than them because they have other players on their roster. And they're not going to miss the $154 million that they gave him. God so loved us that when we were of absolutely no use to him, where there's no benefit for him at all, he gave his only son just because he loved us. Just because he loves us. You got to understand that. Because that's how much our Father loves you. And it was always his intention to love us. It says so in the scriptures. Let me get down to it because I'm all over my notes. But like I said, that's fine. But think about this. I've said this to you before. And then we're going to go, as you're turning to Ephesians 1, verse 5. And this is in the Passion Translation. God said, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew what? All about you. Everything that makes you, you, God knew about it before you were ever formed in your mother's womb. And that has to include everybody, because everybody here was formed in the mother's womb. There's anybody here that's been wombless. Okay. But he said, I knew all about you. That means he knew every evil deed we were going to do, every good deed we were going to do. He knew the smart words that were going to come out of our mouths. He knew the rebellion we were going to participate in. He even knew we were going to deny him. He even knew we were going to curse him to his face. And he loved us anyway. Knowing, he absolutely knew. He knew every act we were going to do. He knew how we were going to get drunk. He knew we were going to do drugs. He knew all of that stuff. And he sent Jesus to die for us anyway. Because he loves us. He just flat out loves us. And there's absolutely nothing we can do. We can deny Christ. We can deny God. And he won't stop loving us. You need to think about that. You can say, God, I don't believe you exist at all. He's never going to stop loving you. It does not matter to him. He's got his mind made up. We're his prized possessions, period. And there ain't anything we can do about it. In Ephesians, because I told you that it was always God's intent. Well, that's not just my words. Ephesians 1, verse 5 and 7 in the Passion Translation says, it was always in his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children. Through our union with Jesus, the Anointed One, so that his tremendous love that cascades over us would glorify his grace. Listen to this. For the same love he has for his beloved one, Jesus, he has for us. The exact same way that God, how many of you believe God loves Jesus? Right? Well, the same way God loves Jesus, he loves you.
Yes.
The same way. Jesus said, now think about it. Jesus was willing to do, was able to do what God told him to do because God loved him. Yeah, he chose to be obedient, but God kept pouring out his love. He kept receiving the love and acting accordingly. And Jesus said, the same way I've been sent into the world, now I'm sending you. Well, he was sent in the world covered by God's love. So in order for us to accomplish what he's sending us in the world to do, guess what we have to be covered with? God's love. The same love, James, the same love that God has for Jesus in the same way God loves Jesus, he loves us.
Amen.
He loves you.
Amen.
And we have to grab hold of that just like Jesus did. There was nothing he wasn't willing to face. See, because when someone loves you, they keep your word. They keep their word. They do what they say. God said, my word will not return to me void. It will accomplish everything I set it out to accomplish. As a matter of fact, I watch over my word to perform it. So if whatever word it is that God gave you, he's following along beside it, making sure it does what it's supposed to do. He will not allow his word to veer to the left or the right. It will stay on track. It will stay on course. It will accomplish what he sent it out to accomplish for you.
Amen.
Why? He loves you. Just because he loves you. He wants us to go into all the world and spread the gospel to every creature. How can we do that if we don't believe God loves us? How are we going to spread love if we don't believe we have love? How can you do that? That's right. You can't. You can't. God, let me tell you something. You know, we may, you know, play practical jokes and all those things on one another. God doesn't do that. He doesn't do it. He doesn't set us up for laughs. You know, and say, watch this. No, he doesn't do that. Well, he doesn't do it in that way. I can see him when the enemy comes and he knows you. He says, watch what you're going to do to him. And see him burst right through. That's why my wife isn't here. He's like, watch this.
Watch
Watch
this.
Watch her go through this. Just watch. She's going through this. You just watch. She knows. You just watch. You know, you need to think about that. What? God loves her. And God's love can do more for her than my love for her can.
That's right.
And make no mistake about it, I loves her. But I can't even begin to do the things for her that my father does. Because my love can't compare to his. I try and get as close to it as I can. But he's never said anything out of turn to her. Never. And he never will. I have to get to that place. I'm not saying it'd be dumb. I'm just telling, you know. And it's not, if God can do it, then that means I'm capable of doing it also.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, how can you say that? Well, in the beginning, God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. So whatever God, the Godhead's characteristics are, mine should be the same.
That's right.
Since I am made in his image and after his likeness, and since his love is cascading over me. Cascading. If water's cascading over me, you look at me and I'm wet. I look like water's been cascading over me. We have to walk around like love is cascading over us. That's why he sent it to a place called Redeeming Love Christian Center and told you it's a place where the love of God is evident. No one should come here and leave feeling unloved. No one should. A place where the love of God is evident, when you walk through the doors, love should just overwhelm you. In that case, being overwhelmed is a good thing. I want to look at Romans 8, because while this may sound good, it won't mean anything if you don't believe it. It won't mean anything if you're not convinced that it's true. Apostle Paul said, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, I want to take a few moments and just explain that scripture to you. And the reason I want to do so is because not only does the love of God exist, we need to understand just how powerful the love of God is. We know in 1 Corinthians 13 it says these things remain, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. See, something can happen and your faith can go weak, your hope can fade out, but love doesn't go anywhere. Love stands there and stays there and bears up under anything and everything that comes. But when the Apostle Paul wrote these verses, he had been facing grueling times because he was a Christian. He'd suffered rejection from friends, persecution from the government, and had spent many months of his life in an isolated prison cell. But regardless of what people or the circumstances of life did, Paul discovered, and I need you to write this down, nothing that occurs in this life has the power to separate a believer from the love of God. Do I need to say it again? Nothing that occurs in this life has the power to separate a believer from the love of God. We need to understand that. Nothing in this life, nothing that happens to you, nothing that suddenly comes upon you, nothing can ever separate you from the love of God. That's why Paul was able to say, I'm persuaded. Okay. Because he understood that. The word persuaded means to be convinced. It means to be swayed from one opinion to an opinion held by another. Paul became persuaded. He used to have a different opinion. After his Damascus Road experience, he became persuaded. Furthermore, it describes a person who's been coaxed from a particular conviction to embrace a different one. It describes a person, the Greek tense of that word implies that this was a persuasion that had occurred in the past, but still strong and continues to be a conviction in the present. See, something happened in the past that persuaded you, and is so strong that years down the road, it still keeps you persuaded. The love of God hit Paul when he was on the Damascus Road. And it was so strong, years down the road, he's still being kept by it. Even though, by that time, I mean, he'd been flogged and stoned and all these things were happening. And he kept getting up and continuing doing what he called him to do. See, as I said earlier, just because God loves you doesn't mean you're not going to have to go through things. It just means you don't go through them alone. He carries you through them. He told Paul, he told him, this ship is going to crash. But there'll be no loss of life. Now, here's how we think. We think, okay, there's a shipwreck, and okay, that's not going to kill me, because God said there'll be no loss of life. But if I don't get any food on this island, I'm going to die. Okay. That's the way we think. God said there will be no loss of life. Okay. Period. So when you're around the fire and a viper comes out and latches onto you and everybody else on the island thinks you're toast, okay, you just shake the thing off into the fire and keep going. You turn the adversary into barbecue. Why? Paul understood what God said. And he knew the love of God would make it so. Yes, yes. So he wasn't concerned about it. Amen. He didn't say, brother, could you suck this venom out for me? You know, no. He just kept on doing what he was supposed to do because God said there will be no loss of life. And we need to start seeing God's words that way. We think it's just situational. You know, yeah, I'll survive the crash, but I'll die from the injuries. No. If he said there'll be no loss of life, guess what? There'll be no loss of life. Because God said so, and he said it because he loves us. Period. And he's not looking for what he can get out of us. He just loves us. And he loves you. So Paul could have said, I've been persuaded and I remain persuaded. But if we're truly persuaded, that's what we'll do. We will stay persuaded no matter what comes. Okay, so you got to walk and you got to use some assistance. That doesn't mean God loves you. He allowed technology to be developed to assist you. So why didn't he just heal me? Why don't you just receive his love? And you'd understand that he did. Mm-hmm. You know, some people, they'd come to me and they'd say, well, would you pray with me? Well, for what? I need a car. I said, why? What do you need a car for? I need to get back and forth to church. Say, oh, you need transportation. If your purpose is just to get back and forth to church, God could send someone and say, you know, if you want, God just told me to just pick you up and bring you back every time we have service. Ta-da. You got the church. No, if you want a car, for that, there's nothing wrong with that. But don't try and mask it with the spiritual stuff. You know, say, Father, I want a car. Okay. I mean, why? Because the Bible says you ask God and you don't receive because you ask amiss. And we think, well, see, God doesn't love me. Because, hey, he gave Moses a car. Why didn't he give me a car? I'm serving. You know, he's like, he served. No, sometimes we ask amiss. If we understand that God loves us, then someone that loves you is going to try and give you the desires of your heart. As a matter of fact, God said, ask me and I will give you the desires of your heart. That's what he said. You know, he didn't say when you think they're going to happen. He said, I will give them to you. And if you take him at his word and you understand that he loves you, love waits. That's why I tell the young ladies and these way times are now, I tell the young men also, if that person really loves you, they will wait.
Yes, they will.
So just be patient. Don't give him anything. Or don't give her anything. Because after a period of time, you'll know whether or not they really love you. Or whether it's that artificial love that we call lust. Okay. God doesn't lust us. He loves us. See, when lust is for the moment. And lust brings can often bring a lifetime of regret. You'll never regret being loved by God. You'll never feel less than whole. You'll never feel betrayed being loved by God. Never. Okay, we're going to break down the scripture even more. The word death means physical death, but it also depicts mortal danger or a dangerous circumstance. In this scripture, Paul's primary meaning is that the love of God is so strong, even physical death cannot separate us from his love. Death may separate us from the earth and from people we love, but it's impossible for death to separate us from the love of God, because God's love doesn't stop with the cessation of natural life. It's a fact that believers feel overwhelmed when they face issues in life, but they often feel so confused and weighed down that they wonder, is God still near to them? But that's precisely what Paul adds, that even life cannot separate a believer from the love of God. When he says life, means the issues of life, things that go on in your life. There's nothing happening in your life that can separate you from the love of God. Ever. 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 Paul, then he says that there's no spiritual being, good or bad, that has enough power to separate us from God's love. None. Angels refers to spiritual angelic beings. And angels are extraordinarily strong. There's no such thing as a weak angel. Okay. And he said angels can't separate us from the love of God. Principalities means the rank and file of the devil's kingdom. They're not strong enough to separate us from the love of God. They can't even cause us to disconnect from the love of God, because his love is that strong for us. See, a jail cell separated Paul from other believers. Didn't separate him from the love of God. And because he stayed true to the love of God delivered him from that jail cell. Then he says things present or things to come. That lets us know, folks, that there isn't anything that currently exists in your life that's strong enough to prevent you from experiencing the love of God. I don't care what it is. You could have been diagnosed or have a diagnosis of a stage 4 cancer. That's not going to separate you from the love of God. It's not that powerful. It just can't do it. And if you realize that and you cling on to it, the love of God will help bring you through it.
Amen. Yes.
Through it.
Yes.
We need to understand that. But it also says, I like this. He doesn't stop with just things present. He said things to come. That means there is nothing in your future that's going to be strong enough to separate you from the love of God. Nothing. So why are we dreading what might happen? Okay. It doesn't matter what happens. It's not strong enough to separate you from God's love. Period. Paul is trying to get us to understand that. He uses the phrase God's all-powerful love. So nothing will happen in the future that will contain enough power to hinder a believer from knowing and experiencing God's love. Then, you know, he says neither height nor depth and all of those things. He's like, look, there's nothing in the sky. There's nothing in the earth. There's nothing anywhere that can separate you from God's love. Nothing. Doesn't matter what comes. And just to make sure that he left something out, he says, or any other creature. Any other, listen to this. Nor any other created thing. Everything you see is created except God. So that means there isn't anything anywhere at any time that will ever be able to separate you from the love of God. He said any other creature, any other thing that's created, whether it's created by him or whether it's created by man, it doesn't matter. It can't separate you from the love of God. We need to understand that, folks, and we need to hold on to it. We need to hold it. It will just let you glide right through. It'll help you keep Jesus as the center of your joy. See, when you think about it, you know, if I have this balanced, my iPad mini, balanced on two fingers, and if this is my platform, if I don't hit the center, it's going to tip over. If I go to the side, it will lean, it'll tip over. But if I go to the center, I could stay there. The song said Jesus is the... And the reason he has to be the center of your joy is because it will keep you stable. It'll keep you balanced. As long as you're firm in the center, it doesn't matter what's going on the peripheral. You're right. You're in the center of it. And in the center, there's peace. There's calmness. There's joy. You're not all over the place. So Paul is saying nothing in the sky or nothing in the deepest parts of the earth has the power to keep one of God's children from knowing and experiencing God's love. Period. Absolutely nothing can separate us? Nothing. Because he said, shall be able. Nothing can tear you away. Nothing. So Pastor Rick Renner, he came up with what he calls an interpretive translation of this verse. I have been persuaded, and I remain convinced, that neither death, nor the complications that often arise in life, nor powerful angelic beings, nor even an entire group of high-ranking demonic spirits, nor anything that currently exists, or anything that could potentially happen in the future, nor any political power, or anything in the highest heavens, nor anything that resides in the deepest depths, or anything that has ever been created, is capable of disconnecting us from the love of God, or of putting any distance between us and the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. You need to understand it. Not only can it separate it, it can't put any distance between us. There is nothing that has the power to get in and drive a wedge between you and the love of God. Nothing. And we need to know that. And we need to understand that. See, I don't think God loves me. Doesn't matter what you think. He does anyway. You need to know that. You need to know it. Nothing in this world has enough power to disconnect you from the love of God. Nothing. Forget about what you've done. We talked about that several weeks ago. As far as God is concerned, you have a future, not a past. He said, I'm going to give you hope and a future. He didn't even say, I'm going to give you hope in the present. He said, I'm going to give you hope and a future. So why are we concerned about the present and the past? And using that to think, God doesn't love me. Nobody loves me. And you start feeling hopeless. And jump off a bridge, or jump off a building, or take an overdose of pill, or whatever it is, you decide, you know, that God's not even capable of taking your life. So I have to help him do that because I'm worthless. No, you're not. No, you're not. So anybody, if you feel, you're feeling nobody loves you, or God's forgotten about, whatever it is, I need you to come. We're going to minister to you because you need to know that the love of God is true, it's real, and you need to feel the love of God. I want you to come now because you're going to feel, you're going to experience God's love. I mean, really, you've been experiencing his love ever since praise and worship. But just come. Like, I don't want anyone. God knows. He told me to interrupt the series on choice and do this.